Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I am here with Mia Moran, who is a best-selling author, life coach, and host of the Plan Simple Podcast, which I just had the pleasure of joining her on. Mia is here today because she has a deep passion for helping women ditch overwhelm and wear all of their hats with ease. And I don't know about you listening, but that just sounds absolutely wonderful and so refreshing. So I am really excited to hear what Mia has to share with us today. Mia, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
It's such a pleasure to be able to see your face multiple times in the span of like a week, 2 weeks.
I know, right? Right. So fun.
So Mia, we have a little tradition here on the show where when we have guest speakers, we have them introduce themselves by telling us what your dating profile would say. Now, your relationship status is a moot point. So you can be partnered, non-partnered, but we want to know, like, what juicy details would you put on your dating profile if you had one?
Oh my God, that's so funny. Because the first thing that comes to mind is I'm so boring because I married my high school sweetheart. So I've thought about life in that context in a very long time. Okay. What would be on my dating profile? I'm like, now I'm going into the food and health stuff. I'm like, well, he'd have to want to eat gluten-free and dairy-free and all those things. That would be important, which apparently isn't to some people. I don't know. What would be on my dating profile? This is making me feel really boring.
I actually love that you married your high school sweetheart. And I think that that would absolutely be a fun fact that we could put on your...
Fun fact. I married my high school sweetheart and I am a designer by trade. I guess that's important. So I'm an artist who like turned into a life coach. And I love teenagers, which I know is not everybody's experience of that age group. That's important. I love my teenagers too, but I just love teenagers. I think they're amazing.
Tell us about yours. How many of them do you have? What are their ages?
I have three right now. One is the oldest is about to not be a teenager, which is very weird. So at the moment they're 19, 17 and 14. And it's so fun. I love it. I'm a little sad this year as we're recording because two of them are not here. One's in college and one is traveling the world. She's in Vietnam right now. And I have like one kiddo who's in high school and I'm like, you know what is my favorite thing right now, which would definitely go on my dating profile today, is that she's playing volleyball and it's the most fun thing to go to volleyball games. I'll say that.
So tell me this, what specifically do you love about teenage years? Because I have a long time till I get there. My little guy's 14 months old and I'm dreading it. Like, I just don't think I'm ready.
It's like, they're just like, so I find it really fun. And I don't know if being a coach helps, like, because I feel like you really shift into this role from like at some point, like kind of around 10, from like doing everything for somebody to like really being a space holder. And so if you can do that well, it's just like they're so like individual. And if you are really there with them, they just have like the best ideas and you're like, where did that even come from? And if you can just be in awe of everything that they're going through, like, why would you think that? I just find it so, they're so fun and real. Like, and then I think, you know, we send them off and tell them how to be all buttoned up and in a box, but there's just this part time when they're like, so themselves. And if we can appreciate that, it's just, it's so fun.
You get to watch them evolve into their own little person.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you get to see all the things, like, you get to see all the things add up. If you're really paying attention and like you interact with them in a way that they keep letting you in, which I recommend anyone with small kids, like, stay really intentional so that happens. You really get to see how, like, yeah, they were picky for 3 years, but like now they like grew into loving all these things. Or, you know, two of my kids wrote their college essays about family dinner. Like, and you know, it's like, that's one of those things where you're like, this feels really hard in the moment some days, and it all adds up and it becomes really meaningful to them. So it's also really validating, I think, as a mother.
That's so special. Oh my gosh. Okay. So you're married to your high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
How many years have you been together now?
So we met when we're 17 and I'm 48. So over 30 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, which makes me feel really old, but you know, I'm not that old. We just met a long time ago.
Plus the three teenagers are keeping you young in the best way. And I didn't know that you were a designer by trade. So that is a fun fact for me to learn. Okay. So this kind of leads into our next question.
Yeah.
Tell me about the origin story of your passion for health and simple planning. Like, how did you go from designer to coach?
Yeah. So at the time, I had three kids under the age of five, because they're all like 2 years apart or whatever. And I actually have always been an entrepreneur. I think I was employed like 2 years after art school at various small design firms, but I've pretty quickly started my own firm. So it was this moment about 14 or 15 years ago where I owned a design firm and I had three kids under five, and I had married my high school sweetheart, as you already know, and we're still happily married, and we had bought an apartment. I just felt like I had like checked off all the boxes, you know, like all the ones that were in the magazines, you know, that were really from outside of me. And I just remember, like, it was probably a series of moments, but I actually remember a very specific afternoon where I was at my office and I had started to figure things out. Like, I had figured out with three little kids that like the 5 day work week was like not necessary. And that as a mother multitasking, I could totally work 4 days and get the same amount of things done. So, and I had figured out that I could like skew my hours a little bit and be home for dinner. Like, I had started to figure out the flexibility of like motherhood and work. And so I remember this day, it was like 2:30, like it wasn't time to leave yet. And I looked at across my desk and there was this stack of Starbucks in particular cups, like, I don't know, five or seven of them that I had gotten over the course of like from when I arrived at work that morning until that moment, which was only like 2:30. And I just remember thinking like, this is absurd. Like, how have I left my desk this many times to go to Starbucks? Like, what kind of attention am I craving from the people? Like, how am I I feel like I don't even remember like going almost, you know, but like I had gone that many times. I had drank the coffee, which in all the things I had learned, like Starbucks like spikes their coffee with more caffeine. So I should have had pretty much energy by then. And I just remember looking across at these cups and being like, oh my God, I am so tired. How am I so tired? I just consumed all this caffeine. And it was kind of like just this like wake up call moment where I was like, shoot, you know, something's off. And that was sort of my first thought. And then the truth is that over the course of three pregnancies and nursing three kids, like it had pretty much been, you know, 6 years of pregnancy or nursing at that point, right? And so my body was not like how it was. I mean, not that our bodies are ever how they were before, but I had probably about 80 pounds that I never had before being pregnant on my body. And I just didn't feel good in my skin. And so I sort of went to the body part first because it was the most tangible thing. I mean, now looking back, I can see that there was lots of other pieces to it. But I just remember thinking like, oh, I have to get healthy. Now, I want to explain that I definitely had a history of like trying every diet on the planet, like when my body was not 80 pounds heavier, like just when it was like normal and fine and you know, disordered eating and all the things. Like I had gone through all of that in my past. So this moment, there was something about it that felt a little bit different. Like I was still in it for the weight almost, but it wasn't coming from outside of me. It was coming from inside of me. It was like a really like firm, okay voice. Like it's time to get healthy. So I feel like that was the first time that I like connected what I was eating, what I was doing with like health, you know, in a very loose way, because I had none of these words then, right? Like I'm just sitting there staring at a bunch of coffee cups. So I had none of these words, but I just knew that I had to change something. And I just remember like looking up around my office and being like, okay, hey, you guys, like, hi, I'm over here. Like, what would happen? Like, what would you do if you needed to get healthy? And at the time, I know this sounds really weird right now, but at the time, yoga studios were new. Like, there was a day when, like, if we went to do yoga, it was like in church basements and like random Buddhist like houses or whatever. But like, somebody had opened a hot yoga studio like a block away, and someone was like, I would totally go there. So I just remember like having this moment of like, okay, I'm going to do that. Like, looking up a class, there was one in an hour. And I had never, like, up until that point in motherhood, actually, I didn't take much time for myself. It was either like, if I had a babysitter, so either I was working or I was with the kids. Like, I very rarely would be like, you know, I guess sometimes we had a date night, but I didn't go work out on the babysitter's hour. I like figured out how to do that when my husband was with the kids or whatever. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. So I like called the babysitter and I went to yoga, and that was just like, it was just like a really important pivotal moment for me. So I'm going to speed up the story. So I went to class. It was awful. It was horrible. If anyone's been to hot yoga, you know, your first class is a little bit torturous, but also it was like, I was so in my body, and I hadn't, like, I must've been floating 20 feet out of my body, you know, for a while up until that point. I was so in my body. And something about the teacher, I was like, I got to meet this lady. And I'm a 100% an introvert, so that's out of character. So I went up to her, and I don't even know what I told her, but somehow in the course of 4 minutes, I was like, I need to get healthy. This is great. I own a design company, like all these things. And she was like, great. I need a website. Come to my house tomorrow, and then I'm going to tell you like how to take care of yourself. And so she did. So that was like my first step. So I went over. She told me a whole new way of eating, which is not, by the way, how I eat anymore. But I was like, I would have done anything. And it happened to be to go raw vegan. And I have to tell you that, like, I don't even know. I did at the time, if you had told me to go get kale at the grocery store, I probably would have cried. Like, that's how out of touch I was with food. I was like going to Trader Joe's and getting like frozen stuff, getting better takeout for us. Like, I married a foodie husband who was a great cook, so that helped. But like, I just offloaded all of it. And so I did it. I did it in a day. I kept it so simple. I ate the same things every day for like 3 months. And then when I was ready for the next step, I took the next step and I learned how to cook and I did more things. But what I will say is that I lost the weight very quickly, you know, which wasn't even the point after like the first week. Like, people are like, well, how long? And I'm like, actually, I have no idea. Cause I felt so good after the first week when I probably still had the weight on, because I have celiac, which I found out at that moment. Dairy and me don't do well. So since then, I do not eat raw vegan, but I have not had gluten or dairy since. And I got off of two medications that I thought I would be on my whole life. So I had never had a period. Don't ask how I had kids, but I had never had a period without medicine. And I got off that. I just had this instinct to get off the medicine. And I wasn't on the medicine because I was finishing nursing. So I hadn't like wanted to start getting a period again. But I would have gone to the medicine. But within 10 days of changing my diet, I got my period all by myself for the first time, which had never happened without medication.
Wow.
I had awful allergies. So I like took Claritin pretty much like every single day of my life. And one day I was like, what if I didn't take this for a day, as I was starting to feel better, like haven't had an allergy since. And then I had these awful, so I didn't get this feedback right away, but I had these awful ear infections like twice a year where I had to take antibiotics and my eardrum burst. And I haven't had one since. So it really changed my health. And so that was like a really important wake up call to me of like, wow, this is like a big deal. And so then I figured out cooking, and then I figured out how to bring food, like I figured out pretty quickly that if I feel this good, I want my kids to feel this good. So I figured that part out, and I just kept like taking the next step. And I don't know, 4 years later, maybe I ended up writing a book about food and family and kids and all the things. And that's sort of like how that all happened.
And you never look back.
I never looked back. If at some point I closed the design studio because it became too hard to have both businesses and three kids. But yeah, that was kind of like, that was how I got into it all.
Okay. So I am immediately wondering, how did you go from someone who admittedly didn't put herself first, right? It was always like kids, business, husband, to then kind of reaching this, I don't know if we want to call it rock bottom, come to Jesus moment, but eventually you had something where you were like, I don't want to keep doing this anymore. Like something's got to change. And you did it pretty quickly, right? Like you said, overnight, it kind of, the transformation began. How did you then, I imagine you had to start prioritizing yourself and your health.
Yeah.
How did you create that change now that you had already engaged in this practice of not doing things for yourself?
Yeah. So actually that's how what I do now came into play, is when I got asked this question enough, because eventually I wrote this book that became a bestseller, and I'm dyslexic, which is why I went to art school. So the writing of a book was not necessarily the thing I felt I was meant to do in my life. And now I'm doing another one. But, and then I took my three kids out of school for a year to go on a book tour because I was talking about like family dinner. So I was like, it makes no sense to be in California and have my kids back on the East Coast. So I took them with me. So at the point that I did that, I kept getting asked these questions. Well, like, how did you keep doing these things, you know? And so then I really had to like go back, and it was a stack of things. Like, first of all, really important is that I made it so doable. You know, the person who was explaining what to eat, she, thank goodness, actually wasn't a cook. And so she was like, you need this food for breakfast, this food for lunch, this food for dinner. This is like the order. This is the snacks. And I literally did the same thing every day. So I made it doable. If somebody had have told me that I had to have a variety at that point, I wouldn't have been able to sustain it. Right. So I made the actual things doable. Did they take up more space than they had taken up the week before? Absolutely. And I think that's the focus piece. So a couple things that came into play at that point, which sort of became what our planner is now, is that I really got clear on like feeling good about my day before the day started. So I think that was a really important thing. So I was always choosing what I was prioritizing from a really good place. And it happened totally by mistake, because this woman who told me what to eat was like, go buy this book that's all about deliberate creation and manifesting. And at the time, like Amazon was newer than it is today and didn't quite work with all the Prime things. And so I totally ordered the wrong thing. Like I thought I was ordering this book, but I ended up ordering like one of those 365-day pad calendars. And it had all these like super inspirational quotes on it. And so I every morning I would read that, and I would just write down the three things that I was going to do that day to keep me healthy. And I just stayed really focused on those things. And I just started to immediately notice that all the other things were fine around me. Like the kids were still fine. I was still a loving mother. I was still going to work, but I like just started my focus differently. I think that was the biggest thing.
It reminds me of that quote. It's, you know, a mom being asked like, don't you feel guilty for putting yourself and your health first? And she's like, no, I feel guilty for being an asshole to my kids because I didn't put myself and my health first. So it's one of those things where if you are saying, hey, here are my top three priorities for the day that I'm going to do to keep me healthy, everything else benefits.
Yeah.
Kind of by default.
Yeah. And it all happens. Like it all sort of like, it all happens around those things. Like we, and oftentimes they don't happen when we put the other things first, because we just get lost in them.
So Mia, I want to shift our conversation to talking about meal planning, because you mentioned this woman who kind of played a pivotal role in your life. She wasn't super into cooking. A lot of the times when we are introduced to meal planning or meal prepping or food prepping, whatever we want to call it, it feels super overwhelming and big. Like I have to be a great cook. I have to follow very extravagant recipes. I have to spend endless hours in the kitchen and put everything in beautiful Tupperware containers. I imagine as someone who's trying to reduce overwhelm and make health easeful, that's not necessarily what you subscribe to when it comes to meal planning. How can we keep it simple, but still get the outcome that we desire?
Okay. So I'm going to bring us back. Like, I feel like I have a lot of very tangible tips, but first what I want to do is I want to bring us to what I call the flow planning method, because it's just these like five things. And I think it contextualizes meal planning a little bit, which I think is really, I think that's one of the most important things that we don't do. So if you imagine like a donut, that's like a circle, right? And so it has five parts to the circle. And so it's kind of like you continuously go around this circle, but the place you start is with getting like centered. So I think sometimes when we go to meal plan, we're like we're outside of ourselves, just like I was. We're not, it's not our internal guidance system that's guiding us. It's like, I should be making Pinterest worthy meals. I should be eating this way. I should. So if we take that time to really center, we can just be coming from a different energy for ourselves. The second step on that is to vision. So just like really understanding why, like, why does it matter that I'm meal planning? Like what, like, and I always say, when you're asking yourself that question and really envisioning what you want, like ask like three times, because the first reason is usually like the surface. And then if you keep asking, you get to a pretty meaningful reason for why you want a meal plan that feels so much better than I should be doing this. Right. So you center, you vision, then basically what you're doing is you're making a list. And this is where a lot of us go first with meal planning. So those first two steps, I think, are really important. And then we're writing it out. We're making the plan for what it is. And then we have to schedule it. And then we follow through. That's the fifth thing. So I say that because I think we get stuck in this like one part of that pie, which is really important. We do have to, like, in order to meal plan, we do have to sit down. We have to make the list of like what all the days are, what are all the meals that we want to have. Like, we do have to do that part, but we can do it from a much more grounded space than many of us are doing. So I always say, just like, remember, even if it's just like closing your eyes and taking three deep breaths and feeling super connected to your body, and then like, even envisioning like, well, what is it like sitting down and enjoying a dinner with my family? Like, what could that be like? Like, just really connecting to the vision of why you're doing this, just all of that in your body, and all of that can take 30 seconds. It does not need to take hours. Right. And then it's like, okay, so if I want to like, and from that vision place, it usually elicits like a feeling within us, right? Of like, community, connection, health, like whatever it is for you, like just feeling great. And so you want to pull that feeling into planning. So as you're thinking through like what you're actually doing, which is the part I actually want to come back to after we get around this, like what you're actually doing in those lists, you want to still feel that way. You want to still feel connected. And if you start to feel disconnected, the question is, well, how can I come back? How can I simplify this? How can I be more connected to the food I'm wanting to plan for, right? And then the fourth piece is the piece that I think we really make the biggest mistake on, and why I shifted from only doing meal planning to doing a more holistic version of planning, is because when I was on that book tour for Plan Simple Meals and talking to all these women, I would just remember all these times looking out and thinking I would be looking out at this like sea of people who looked really unhealthy. But in California, that is not what you see. Like, everyone looks really healthy. And I just kept feeling like these women definitely know more about kale even than I probably do at this point. But nobody was making the time. And so eventually I started saying like, let's pull out your calendar. Like, let's pull out your phone. Like, let's see what's happening. And it's like the intention to have a healthy, like farm to table meal was so high, but like, they were finishing work, going to pick up a kid, coming home, and wanted that meal done in 5 minutes or 5 minutes ago. And that's what wasn't happening. And so I think there's this disconnect a lot of times in food, but and also like pretty much in a lot of mom life, right? Like, it's like the Little League calendar is like on the fridge and the meal plan is on a chalkboard or whiteboard. And, you know, everything's over here. And then we have our schedule. And so really anchoring stuff in time is super important, I think, for making meal planning simpler. So it's like, if you see that you're going to have a really busy week, then you have to make time to prep the food on some of the food on Sunday. If you see that you have 3 days that it is going to be really tight from when you get home to when you want dinner, or that you're going to be, you know, moving around all day and you're not sure how you'll have lunch, you need to plan meals that like fit that schedule, that time frame. And I think what we do a lot is we like look out on Pinterest and it's like, oh, like we could do this. We could do this. This all looks great. But it like would take, if we really look at the time thing, it would take an hour and a half, and we just don't have an hour and a half. There might be days where we do have an hour and a half, and that's great. So then on those days, we plan to make those things, but not on the days where we actually only have 15 minutes or we think we only have 15 minutes. Yeah. And then when we go through all this, then we can really follow through and feed ourselves and nourish ourselves in the way that we were intending to.
I like that because it's giving everyone permission to figure out what works best for them. Where I think where I have gotten caught up historically and where a lot of my clients get caught up in is, oh, it has to be this one weekend day.
Yes.
I do the whole shebang. And like you said, if you have time to cook in real time and that's what you prefer, great, go do that. But maybe you prefer two or three mini preps throughout the week and you're just keeping it super simple, but making sure that it's serving your schedule.
Yeah. And really looking at both time frames. Like I remember like there was a season in my kid's life where everybody was getting out of school at one day a week. Like it was early. And then the other days felt tight. And there was days when I see clients later and days when I don't. And so it's like, how can I really respond to the rhythm of life? And it's like, there's some days where it's about cutting time, which I think is where we naturally go, especially with food, because it's the messaging that's given to us. Like, how do you make 5-minute meals? How do you do 10-minute things, right? It's like we're checking out in the supermarket and that's what all the headlines say. But there's also the opportunity for when there's more time, like how can you connect to food in a different way in that time? And then that starts to shift our relationship with the food when we have less time. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if we're enjoying the day that we have more time and making something that either is prepping us for the days ahead, or it's just we have more space, we can bring our kids into the mix. It just nourishes us at a soul level in a different way. And so then when we are trying to make something quickly, we have that. Like we have that in our systems. We can like recall that interaction with food. Whereas a lot of us just get, we have so many things on our plate. And so by the time we get to cooking dinner, it's like all odds are really stacked against us and it becomes stressful. So then every time we're in the kitchen becomes stressful. So it's like, how do we balance out those moments and take those calmer moments and bring them into the ones that feel tighter?
I want some of those tangible tips that you were talking about. And I know that you recently just had a podcast episode where you were talking a little bit about AI and meal planning. Tell us
more. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that's fascinating to me. And to be honest, I haven't done it as much as the client who shared it. But okay. So a few tangible tips. So one of the top ones, and actually how we originally organized the book, is come up with a rhythm. So I think a lot of times when we're meal planning, it's like the whole world is our possibility. And back when my whole world was my possibility, I always thought of the same three things, right? Like it was like, oh, I know how to do this, this, and this. But I started doing this thing where it was like, all right, like I'm from New Orleans originally. And in New Orleans, they always have red beans and rice on Monday. And I started to like look into the origin of that. And it was like, it was wash day. So it was like something that was cooking all day while women were doing wash. So I was kind of like, that's a cool story to be able to tell my kids. And also, I have a pressure cooker and Mondays are a kind of a rush day. And so we started like Monday was bean day. We always had like beans and a grain and a salad. And, you know, I would eat my part. They would eat their part. Like it was. So Monday was bean day. Tuesday might be soup day or taco day if you're following it. Like, so you can like literally create themes. And that when you do that, all of a sudden it's like, so, say, for example, it's soup day. It's like, you end up with more variety because you have some constraint. So like you're working within some constraint, but you can, it's not so overwhelming. So you could Google soup or vegetable soup and you could easily find one that like is in your repertoire. And eventually you'll learn, you know, ones and you'll know when you want to venture out and when you don't. But having those rhythms of a day and sort of looking at that, I think in like the school year time or season by season is really helpful. Because, you know, at some season you might have soups and another one you might have salads. But that also really helps kids. So if you're a mother, you know, my kid's favorite night was not soup night, but it was like it just was part of their rhythm. And so they learned to just have it, like it was nutritious. And like, you know, again, like nobody might have been jumping up and down for joy. But it became something that was like they loved. And I learned to like make different things that they could dip in it and like whatever. And so it just became, it's really grounding for everybody. It's grounding for the planner. It's grounding for family members. And it just helps make this like thing. And you can, I mean, if we really look at our schedules, we can look and be like, okay, Wednesdays are always hard. So I'm going to do something simpler on that day. And Thursdays, I always go get my farm share or whatever. So that is all, it can always be those things. So we can sort of start to really respond to the rhythm, to our life and to the season, which I find is hugely helpful. So that's one trick I would definitely share.
I love that one. I actually had a client who did exactly that. She had two small kids and it was like soup night, fish night, like, you know, plant-based night. It was just so easy for her and really took a lot of the mental load off of her.
And I actually learned that. I'll give credit where credit is due. I learned it. My kids went to a Waldorf school and they had these amazing snacks. And in the kindergarten class on Thursday was vegetable day. And the teacher would just like, these kids would be eating like sauteed greens and like sauerkraut. And they were like 4 and 5. And I was like, how do you do this? And she's like, well, they don't like it the first 2 weeks, but it keeps coming back. And it's snack time and they're hungry and they want to participate. And, you know, really 3 months later, one of my kids came running home. It's like, Mama, can you make the sauteed greens? Like, who would have thought that? So do they like bread day better? Maybe, but there is something so nurturing in that rhythm. So that's sort of where that came from, and from my perspective. Another thing that's been super helpful is, so in that idea of like centering first, I think a lot of times when we sit down to meal prep, like the meal prep itself triggered us for a minute. Like we come into it overwhelmed. So often we come into it overwhelmed. So hopefully the center and vision part will help some people when they sit down be less overwhelmed. And so in a moment, maybe when you're not even meal planning, when that's not even your intention, what's really helpful is to just make a list of the things you know how to make, like outside of meal planning, and just have that list so that when you sit down to meal plan, you're not always looking at cookbooks, Pinterest, and whatever, because that is not how. Like I have one day a week where I look at recipes. My husband's actually a little bit different. He loves going to the New York Times and finding things. But like for me, I just like being able to like maybe reference something quick because I like don't know one part or I'm wondering about an herb. But I very rarely go from recipes. And that's just because I have this list. Like I know how to make these things. And often I forget what I know how to do when I meal plan. So it's really important to have this list that you've created at a time, like outside of the stress of meal planning. And then you can pull from it as you need it and add to it or whatever. So that's another thing.
That kind of goes with what you mentioned earlier, which is you were happy to not have to focus on variety at the beginning of your health journey. And that's something that I always echo to clients who, especially who are just starting out, like find what you like, find what works. And just stick with it. Like we can always experiment with adding variety or introducing like one or two new recipes, you know, periodically, but don't get caught up in like the everything has to be new and exciting every single night for dinner.
Yeah, I think that's actually like really important. Like really important. And that's mindset work, I think. I mean, so I'd rather, like I always would invite somebody to do the work of why variety is feeling so important, like where that's coming from, rather than meal plan for variety at first, actually. Because I think a lot of that has to do with our thinking over anything else.
Yeah, you're so right. Do you have a third tip to share with us?
I think the last one I would say is like just having a way where you can mix and match things throughout the week. And I think that can look different in different seasons. But one of my favorite things is roasting a bunch of stuff. It's like, it can be so easy. So context switching is like the hardest thing for us as humans, right? So like switching from work mode to kid mode to food mode, like that's what's really hard. So there is huge wins in batching food. It's so much more time efficient. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll just like roast a bunch of veggies. I'll make a grain. I'll roast a protein, you know, and then throughout the week, you could have that for 2 or 3 meals, even depending on like what you're doing, right? So you can chop it up and have, you know, offer grain bowls. Like you could have quinoa and lots of veggies and a protein. And it's so easy to make. Like sometimes I'll make like 2 sauces. I'm a big fan of the Vitamix for meal planning. I get nothing from that, but it's one of my favorite tools. So sometimes I'll make like 2 sauces and then it's just like, okay, like these veggies and these greens can have teriyaki sauce one night and they can have like this parsley, like cashew sauce another night. And it's like 2 different meals with some of the same thing. So that's one of my favorite tricks, is to really think through like how is every night not different. And so roasting is a really one of my favorite tools for that. Always making sure that, and you know, and in the summer, if you live somewhere warm, sometimes that's less roasting and more, you know, cutting up stuff and having it available in the fridge. You know,
that's my favorite
salad type thing. Yeah.
I do that every week.
Yeah. I love it. And for kids, back to kids again, it's really an amazing tool. So I used to say that we had what I called grain bowls 3 times a week, even though I don't technically eat that many grains, but like we had them like 3 times a week, because what I would do is I would put all the bowls out on the table and I would serve myself, like, you know, all the veggies and the sauce and whatever I wanted to, but my kids would start to see this rainbow in my bowl. I didn't have to say anything. Everything on the table was healthy. So were there nights when some kid would just fill their bowl with brown rice and put some sauce? Yes. But over time, I have like the least picky eaters that I know, because, and it really facilitated them being able to understand what nourished them. And it was just a modeling tool. So I love the idea of anything like of keeping the variety even separate and using it as serving as a tool to really help make eaters that love food.
I love that, because it's modeling, but it's also exposure, right? Like, okay, yeah, you don't have to choose that tonight, but it's still going to be available, you know, next week or the week after.
The other thing it does is if you put all the bowls on the table, I think a lot of time women, like another, you know, just tip in general is always to sit and eat. You know, I'm sure you tell people that all the time and it's hard sometimes to sit and eat, but that really got like, that got me like, okay, all the bowls are on the table. Everyone has water. Now I'm going to sit and eat with them and not be standing at the counter, you know, eating and doing weird things.
Right. So. It's also super helpful. I mean, we could take this in a bunch of different directions, but everyone can serve themselves according to their own hunger and fullness versus you like trying to portion out perfectly what someone should or shouldn't eat, and then getting disappointed they didn't clear their plate, or, you know, some of the things that we've struggled with historically. Mia, I know that we have to honor your time. You have a kiddo to go help. Can you tell us where we can connect with you online?
Absolutely.
You reference the planner and your book. Where can we seek out those?
Yes. It's funny, like the book is being, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, the book feels like it was written when my kids were very little and I want to go back and revisit it. But you can get to everything on our site, which is plansimple.com. We're releasing the new version of the planner right now. And the planner is actually meant to bring together food, but also like life and spirituality and work all in one place. Because one of the things we also do is we tend to isolate, you know, the things. And so it brings it all together. So that's available there. I have a podcast, as you mentioned, which is, you can also get to from there. So I feel like the website is the best way. We also have a course called From Overwhelm to Ease, which is just a free way to go through that process. It was basically that daily process that I started to do that really got me feeling like changing my food was easy, that you can get to from the website for free.
I love that. Perfect. I'm going to link the website below so everyone can just find all those resources there. Thank you so much. Anything that makes our lives easier and more nourished is gold stars from me.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. And I promise the teenage years are so fun if you let them be.
I'm going to hold you to that. I might hit you up for advice.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.